So I've changed my introduction, as you could imagine, for the message today. It was September 11th, and the youth pastor was at church working on a message for that evening. He was aware of the attacks. It was maybe early afternoon at this point. There was going to be a prayer vigil that night, and the youth at the church would be gathering. And he was thinking, what words can I give to them? And he got a call from his wife saying, you need to come home. And he did. And he got a call that his best friend from college, they had each been best man for one for the other in their respective weddings, been on United Airlines Flight 93, was Todd Beamer, was the young man's friend. And obviously, the message changed completely at that point. As I said, I had planned this series in the spring with one set of ideas and one way to take this. But then the events came of July 4th, and more news came out the days that followed. There are the good stories, those that got away. A friend from seminary, she pastored the First Church of Galveston. One of her friends posted how they were at their house, big family gathering. Teenagers were up late, for once, be grateful for that. And were downstairs going, wait, I shouldn't be seeing that kind of stuff floating that close to the house. And went upstairs, got everybody. And she said they got out. And there was a large family that got everybody out. Her husband was the last, and the water was already up to his knees. Got to their cars. Apparently, there were several properties to get houses together. One road, and they had a gate. Somebody had their truck. They just pulled out. Boom! That's why you got insurance. Bust that fence. No time to look for the key. And got out and got away. There are stories like that and others that don't end that way. But on 9/11, one of the songs to which I turned were these words: God is our refuge and strength, and an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away. And in Matthew 7, Jesus speaks of storms too. He doesn't say if they come, but when they come. And that storms of one type or another hit everyone. Now, here he is speaking more using a metaphor of a house, but of our lives. It's the what kind of material, what is it that will help it to stand? And really, it comes down to foundation. On what are we standing? So with that in mind, let's take a few, look a bit at this psalm and this parable. And the first classic point is God is our refuge and strength, the stronghold to whom we can go, that source of inner strength. I've referenced before Elizabeth Elliot, who lost her first husband as a martyr. He was martyred by the Aka Indians in the 50s. Later, she married Addison Leach, and he died of cancer. And it was a slow process, but she went through that. She married a third time, and you got to give that guy a medal for bravery. And at one point she said he calls himself the front runner. It's the longest she'd been married, and her prayer was that he would outrun me. And actually, that was answered. She went before he did. But she had this to say in reference to this psalm, that everything that had seemed most dependable has given way. Mountains are falling, earth is reeling. In such a time, it is a comfort to know that although all things seem shaken, one thing is not. God is not shaken. God is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalm continues. The verses get more specific about a city. And it's believed that it's making reference to Jerusalem. and a time of, and it's actually on spring, so they had a water source. Even if they had the walls up, they had a water source. And it's interesting, having been there, the old city, which was built later, but to realize I'm within one or two football fields with what everything is talked about in Jerusalem happening, I'm within that space. And it's believed here in this psalm that the reference is made to when Assyrian soldiers were sieging the city. And the king or the general, the Assyrian general, just basically said, "Give up." And they went to the prophet Isaiah. He said, "No, God's going to deliver us this time." And God did. A plague struck the army. And those that survived just hightailed it back to Assyria. It could also mean reference to an eternal city. That even though a human city would fall, that the eternal city will not. The third section speaks of confidence, and confidence that brings about peace. It calls us to rest in the Lord, that familiar phrase, "Be still and know that I am God." It's actually more active than just sit down kind of peace. In a way, it's a God is God and we are not. Let us rest in that kind of peace. James Boyce, a Presbyterian minister, speaks about a coin that one of the Roman generals had minted after a series of victories. On one side is an olive branch, which would represent the negotiated peace. You know, the series of victories, and sometimes you just work it out, everybody's happy. On the other side would be a torch setting fires to heaps of armor. And a conquered, achieved peace. I'm stronger, and I won. In a way, James Boyce says that in a way, this is the kind it's talking about. God is God, and we are not. Again, Elizabeth Elliot says, "Lay down your arms, surrender and acknowledge that I am the one and only victorious God. Rest in God's surrender." In light of that kind of language, I'm reminded that today ultimately we'll be celebrating the victory that Jesus won in battle. God is our refuge and strength. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Again, Reverend Boyce says it's interesting here that Jacob is the one singled out. Of the big three, you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sometimes you put Joseph in with that, but these are the three patriarchs from which all the tribes of Israel could say, yeah, you know, we all go back to them. But this is the one that is invoked without the others. Of course, Jacob is a little bit scandalous, a little bit interesting too. Boyce said he was a schemer, and it took him a lifetime to trust God. And yet the God of Abraham was Jacob's God no less than Abraham's. Maybe as you sit here, you reflect that you have a checkered past. After all, we all have chapters we would prefer to keep unpublished. The God of Jacob is our God as well. Jesus Christ is descended from both Abraham and Jacob. Reminds me of that saying, you never know what will come down when you look up the family tree. These words we have from Jesus in the parable, he's actually given, this is the Sermon on the Mount, he's coming into the home stretch, getting ready to land the plane, and he's made a reference to good prophets, bad prophets. Two gates, the wide and the narrow. And so again, we have the story of the two illustrations. Now here he's talking about, if it's rock, you know it should be safe. And the sand is the areas that are known riverbeds. So it's not exactly the same what happened at the Guadalupe. These are areas of its sand. It means it's been there before. It will come back. There are flash floods. There are floods up in the mountains. And that you may have nothing where you are, but above there will be stuff, and it comes down. We're at Qumran, which I've said before, it makes the Big Bend look like an Amazon rainforest. And you wonder, like, they bathed on a regular basis? And they said, well, yeah, they had the running water that would come down. They would trap it from the mountains. So you knew if it was sand, eventually something's going to happen here. Build it on the rock. And from that, that illustration comes. It's a reminder here on what have we invested ourselves? On what are we focused? These words looked up this morning had come from Corrie Ten Boom. Maybe familiar with her, a family that had hidden a group of Jews in their home, and she ended up going to the only all-female, all-Gentile concentration camp as a result of it, and survived. But she said, you may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all that you have. On what rock are we going to build? Just a few takeaways. A reminder once again to build your life on rock, not sand. A reminder to turn to God in crisis. And that may sound like, wasn't that a no-brainer? But often when things are going great, yes, it's easy to forget God, but it's also easy to praise God. Beautiful sunsets, beautiful flowers. Easy to give a praise in the midst of that. But in a crisis, he can praise or turn and or turn and turn to him as well. Be still. Number three, be still and know that I am God. Cultivate stillness in a busy world, a noisy world. Take those times of silence, pray and reflect, shutting out the world, the noise of the world. And a reminder, not to be surprised by storms. They will happen, but to be prepared for them. It's easy in our country with 1-2-click shopping things to be easy. Kind of had a humorous generational shift recently a few months ago back at the McDonald's. I got the new one by Horn High School. And I went in, and of course, that is a lovely stand where you've done your orders online, you can pick them up, paid for them online. And that poor young lady, I gave my order, and I paid in cash. She had a hard day. We're in a country where we are used to, yeah, click, 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 and boom. And I've done the one click, 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 boom, and I picked something up down there at the one at the corner, McDonald's at the corner. And that can cocoon us at times from the challenges. We need to be prepared. Now, it's easier said than done. Trusting God, but to trust God's sovereignty over global and personal chaos. Trusting God on such a day as this, after a flood. Trusting God after whatever crisis you may be facing or have faced. Jesus has gone before us. You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all that you have. And God is our refuge and strength. The God of Jacob, with all his faults, the God of Jacob is our fortress. We mark again the sacrifice of our Lord and the triumph. Today we can celebrate that God is our refuge and the God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.